confessional service. If the ushers can come forth, please. Service is next Sunday. Invite someone to come with you. We have a Section 7 youth rally at Bromonk's Church on April 13th. We will need to leave by 11 a.m. that day. IVC Praise will be coming on April 21st, so you don't want to miss out. God, please bless this offering. Please bless the service. I thank you for letting everyone come today, and please lead and guide the rest of worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning to our generational service. I would like to first welcome all of our guests this morning. This is our annual generation service where we allow this next generation, our youth, to kind of step out and take a little more approach into ministry. So we're glad for that. We're all part of a generation. Amen. Many generations that are here today. There is a interbellum generation. There is a the baby boomers. We have the silent generation. We have Generation X, millennials, Generation Z, and Y, and there's all kinds of them. So no matter what generation you are from, you all have seen some trials. You've seen some triumphs in your life. We've all have some grandparents who have lived during some wars, some World War I, World War II. There may be some that have been in the Vietnam War, which was certainly a hard time, a certain time and generation that it would be tough. There's even a saying that goes back, I remember back in my day. I don't know if anybody's parents would say that, back in my day. I feel like as a parent, like if I say it, I'm probably getting old. You know, it's always back in my day. So Psalms 127, 3 through 5 reads, Lo, children are an inheritance of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. So are the children of their youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in their gate. And what I like about the Message Bible, it says, don't you see that children are God's best gift? And how blessed are you parents with your quiver full of children. And the last part says, your enemies don't stand a chance against you. You will sweep them right off your doorstep. That lets me know that this generation can't be a silent generation or any other generation behind us, but the God-ordained, chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. So at this time, River's going to come up and he has a word for us today. So let's preach with him today. Let's encourage him today.
Praise the Lord, church. I just want to start off by giving thanks and honor to Pastor Clutter and the youth team for this wonderful opportunity. And I'm just so thankful to be in the house of the Lord today. There's nothing like it. There's nothing better. No place I'd rather be on a Sunday morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Verse 7 says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearances or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Verse 11 says, and Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking, and the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Verse 13 says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. If you would lay your Bibles down and lift up your hands to God, in the name of Jesus, God, I just ask you that you would just be in this place today, Lord. God, that you would just have your way in this service, God. Lord, I pray that you would anoint my words and my lips, God. That you would open up our hearts and our ears, God, that we could receive, God, whatever you have in store for us, God. Lord, I pray that you touch the remainder of this service in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. If you're going to help me preach today, you may be seated. See, this is like my, you know, second or third time preaching, so I'm going to need some help today in the name of Jesus. I believe that David and I were very similar, you know, both having fine appearances and handsome features. But not only that, David was called and he was anointed as a young age. Bible scholars believe he was 15 years old when he was anointed. And, you know, we're in the generational service today, and that is a lot of the, you know, ages we have in this place. So you're not too young to be anointed. It can happen to any of us. The Lord told Samuel to go out and find a king. So Samuel traveled to see Jesse and choose one of his sons to be king of Israel. And when he first got there, he looked at Eliab and said, surely the anointed of the Lord is before him. And he was talking about the oldest son of Jesse. But the Lord looked at Samuel and said, do not look for the outward appearance, but the Lord looks for the inside appearance. God was looking at their hearts. And even though David was the youngest, God, in God's eyes, he had the best heart. You may be here today looking the best. You may have the best hairstyle and be the coolest cat in this place. But Jesus doesn't care of any of that. He looks where your heart is at. And that is the only thing that matters. Samuel went down the line of all of his sons until he got to little old David. And the Lord told Samuel, he's the one. And I can imagine all of his brothers around him were frustrated and mad that, you know, the little runt out of all of them was the chosen one. But there was something different about David. And as we look on David's younger life throughout the Bible, he faced many challenges. He had to protect his flock from thieves and animals. He had to deal with jealousy from his older brothers. I bet they tried to, because as an older brother, and we got Ridge and Ryder in the back, there's always fights, that happen. And if Ridge got the calling over I would be pretty upset too. But he had to deal with the jealousy of his older brothers. But David managed, and he overcame those challenges. We know he was a skilled musician. He was a brave warrior. With one of the biggest accomplishments in his life was he defeated Goliath. That's a story we all know, and it was by the help of God, and God had his hand on all of David's life. From the get-go, David, he was a leader. He was taught to take care of others and make wise decisions. He learned to trust God in the most difficult circumstances. How many know it's not so easy to trust God all the time? It's not like, oh, I'm going to trust God like that. There's some things we go through where like, God, why is this happening to me? I've been faithful. I've been reading and praying. And, why is this happening to me? I can remember when I was younger, I had my gallbladder removed when I was 7. And in that same year, I received the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And I was dealing with pain from the gallbladder situation. And as a 7-year-old, I could have whined. I could have complained. I could have tried to sleep it off or go take some more Advil or some medication. But I decided to put my trust in God, and I started to lay hands on my stomach and pray in the Holy Ghost because I knew the power that was in the Holy Ghost. And God healed my pain, and I got up and went outside to play. That's the power we have when we are filled with the Holy Ghost. We can lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and that's what our God can do. Amen? The Bible states in John 4:4, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them." I love this next part. "Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." David lived a godly lifestyle and tried to please God with all that he had. But there was one day when David got distracted and got thrown off course. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 11, verse 2 through 6, it says, "It came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Elam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, 'I am with a child.' And David sent to Joab, saying, 'Send me Uriah the Hittite.' And Joab sent Uriah to David." Here we see King David going out on his roof, probably trying to get some fresh air, blow off some steam. And in that time of the Bible, that was where all the kings would go forth to battle. But David remained in Jerusalem. And while he was out on his roof, trying to get a good view of the sun, or maybe it was a beautiful day out, something caught his attention. And I'm sure the woman washing herself, Bathsheba, I'm sure she wasn't trying to get David or another man's attention bathing. But if she had been modest and had done it in a private place, David wouldn't have been put in that situation. And I'm not blaming Bathsheba, but it does matter what you wear. It does matter what you do. And it does matter to live a modest, holy lifestyle. If we are causing other people to sin by them lusting after us, we better change our ways. I don't want to be the reason someone sins or someone, destruction happens in someone's life because destruction, one sin leads to another, and it all leads to the path of hell. And we need to avoid that as Christians. And in that moment, David had two choices. He could have turned right around and cut that off and said, I don't do that. I don't look at that stuff. I'm not like that. Or he could have pursued her and pursued that temptation. And as we know, he chose option 2. He pursued that temptation. And once that thought comes over you, you're the one that gives the call to sin. You're the one who pulls that trigger to make that decision in that moment. The devil doesn't make you sin. He doesn't make you do anything because he has no power and no authority over us in the name of Jesus. But it is our flesh that inputs those bad choices, those bad ideas, and those dumb thoughts that we fall into temptation sometimes. You know, they might make us feel good for a season, or trying to fill the void. And I've come to tell someone today that nothing will fill that void. And I mean nothing will fill that void except Jesus called the Christ. Amen? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible states in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." When the thought of sin tries to come over you, you know, for me, every time a thought comes in my mind, you know, my mom taught me to very, you know, rebuke it in the name of Jesus. You know, but sometimes, and for a little bit, that'll work. But then the Satan will keep attacking you. He'll keep coming back, and he won't stop until you're dead. But the Bible says to take control over that thought, to take it captive to the obedience of Christ. And that word captive means prisoner of war. So God is literally saying, you know, make that thought a prisoner who has no control over a thing. You know, when you think of a prisoner, they have no control. They're in the cell. They can't move or do anything. It has no control over your life. It can't. It's not a sin to look at something you didn't intend. I know with, you know, I watched a new movie recently, and, you know, you got my big popcorn, my large Diet Dr. Pepper. I'm sitting there with extra butter, and I'm ready to enjoy this movie. And, you know, there was a scene where, you know, there was an immodest woman, you know, and in that moment, you know, we have to, you know, look away or cut that off. The Bible says if it's causing us to sin, to cut it off, you know, so if that takes for me to, you know, put my head down for a second to, you know, not fall into that temptation, that's what we have to do. I know with social media, you know, things pop up, there's ads, there's, you know, things that come up that you didn't even know, you didn't intend for. And sometimes, you know, we want to stay and look because that is just our sinful nature. But God warns us about this in 1 John 2, 16 through 17. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." God gives us free will, and I'm so thankful for that. But God doesn't want us, you know, doing what we please and what we want to do all the time.
Right.
If I wanted to do everything my way and, you know, everything that River wanted, I would probably be dead from all the dumb decisions I would make. And if I wanted everything that I wanted, it wouldn't work out. And I tried to do everything my way, I would fail, you know, constantly, because it is not River, but it is greater is he that is in me than that he is in the world. But we have to be spirit-filled and spirit-led believers. Anybody agree with me there? Spirit-filled and spirit-led believers. It's a constant battle daily. You know, every single day, spirit versus the flesh. And like verse 17, the Bible says, "He that doeth the will of God abideth forever." The day we stop doing the will of God and we start doing the will of the flesh is where destruction happens, and we cannot live a life without God. It's impossible to do everything our way, because time and time again, I have learned that it leads to failure, and Jesus, he's the only way in this life. Amen?
Amen.
Like God, he is no respecter of person, but either is the devil. Either is sin. He doesn't care who you are. You know, you would think, you know, that King David, who was called at the age of 15 years old, he was called and anointed. You know, I wouldn't think he would make that mistake, but the devil doesn't care who you are,
right,
you know, or what you're about, or what you want to do. He will not stop until you're dead. And what I've figured out is the reason the devil is attacking you so hard is because he knows something that you don't know. He knows what you're going to do for his kingdom. I'm here to remind someone today to keep fighting back against the adversary. This isn't the time to stay down in your sin. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth 7 times and yet rises up again. So it doesn't matter if you've fallen, because Christ has already conquered your storm. You may fall 7, 8, 9 times, but I'm telling someone today to get back up and keep fighting. You fight until you're dead. You fight until the day Jesus comes back. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. On October 1st, 1991, Vinny Paz would defeat WBA World Junior Middleweight Champion Gilbert Daly, putting him down in the 12th round. He had won 2 title fights before his 30th birthday in different weight classes. Before there was Manny Pacquiao, there was Vinny Paz. After the fight, Paz would suffer a broken neck that he got from a car accident, and he was told by doctors that he would never walk again. And the doctors told him that fighting wasn't an option. It wasn't anything that he could ever do again. But Paz wasn't done yet. A reporter asked Paz, he said, there'd be 99% of other boxers that would just quit after the car accident. Why didn't you? He responded, I just had to keep going. You know, when you get counted out so many times, Paz says, it feels good when you make that comeback. That's what it was for me. This man, he could have quit right there and used that car accident as his excuse to stop and end his boxing career. But his response was, I just had to keep going. I just had to keep going. And sometimes we don't know what's ahead of us. We don't know what God has in store of us. But I just know I have to keep going. I'm never satisfied of where I'm at in God. I can't stay stagnant in where I'm at. I have to be on the upline at all times. And, you know, we just have to keep trucking along, and I know God will provide for me. Paz stated that he had 4 screws, 1/4 inch, into his skull for 3 months. He said that he started working out after a week, and he didn't tell the doctor. He said, I keep going back to x-rays, and it looked good every time. Finally, at the end, I told the doctor, and he was blown away. He told me to keep going. We might get bruised. You know, there might be bruising in the head from the screws. But, you know, sometimes we get knocked down. You know, sometimes it might feel like a spiritual car accident where we get absolutely crushed. You know, we get bumps and bruises, and we might even be scarred for life. But if we could just remind ourselves just to get back up and just keep fighting, no matter how much it takes, we have to keep fighting. And when I fall, I'm going to get back up and keep fighting against the enemy. And even though I might have bumps and bruises, and like he was training with the screws in his head, I'm going to be training in the spirit with the spiritual bumps and bruises. Vinny Paz say some had the greatest comeback in sports history, and he returned to the ring a year later and won the junior middleweight title. After David committed adultery with Bathsheba, he sent out a letter to Joab to have Uriah killed in battle. You know, and as we see here, one sin leads to another. You know, like Pastor Clutter says all the time, if you give a sin an inch, it will always take a mile. It's guaranteed. And once you think, you know, oh, I can do it once, and I'll repent after, and everything will be fine, and, you know, forget about it, and then another week goes by, and then you're like, oh, I haven't done that sin in a while. And I've been praying, but I'm not really feeling God, you know. I'll repent after. It's whatever. But then 3 days roll around, and then it becomes a habitual sin that happens every single day. And I know we are not perfect, you know. God is the only perfect one. But God's plan for us is not for us to be bound. God's will for us is not to be addicted to pornography or drugs or alcohol. God has called you out of his darkness into his marvelous light. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. 1 Peter 2:9 says, and we probably can quote it, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that should be shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Micah 7, verse 8 says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. And when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be my light. You know, when we fall, you know, we're not supposed to stay down. We're meant to get up. You know, that's part of the whole. It would be easy for to stay down. It's easy to, you know, lose and sit like on a bump on a log and just be like, oh, I lost. You know, but we have to get up and we have to put up a fight. And we have to stand flat-footed. We have to stand up flat-footed against this world, and we better arise. The Bible says we shall arise in the name of Jesus. You know, they tried to keep Jesus down, but we know 3 days later after he died, they rolled that stone away, and he arose from the dead. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus died for our sins, not for us to stay bound and keep listening to the lies of the enemy. Because when we're down in that place and we're empty, that's the time where you'll let anything in your life. You're looking for a way out. And, you know, you have God in one ear and you have the devil in the other ear. And who will you choose when you're down? I know what I'm choosing because I know what leads to hope and victory in the name of Jesus. The Lord doesn't care what your mistakes are. He doesn't care what you've brought in today. He doesn't care what you did an hour ago. God is on our side and he is fighting for us. And what is so awesome to me is God has never lost a battle. He is undefeated, and he will never lose. The same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. The reason David killed Uriah was him trying to cover up that sin. You know, and there may be times where we sin, and we're doing it in a hidden place. Or we're doing it behind closed doors. But we will never cover up anything from God. You may think that you're hiding that sin from your parents, your aunt and uncle, your grandparents, your pastor. You know, but it truly doesn't matter who you can hide it from in this world. Because God has his eyes on you at all times. So you better be living a godly lifestyle 24/7. In 2 Samuel 12, 7 through 9, God sends Nathan to confront David of his sins. Verse 7 says, and Nathan said to David, thou art the man, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wife into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judea. And if that he had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Verse 9 says, For where hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord? To do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife. And he hath slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. We see God here coming to David and saying all these wonderful things that God has done for him. Anointed him from such a young age, help him fight Goliath, overcome the challenges that he had to grow up with. He's asking David, he's saying, you know, why have you despised the commandments? Why have you broken the commandments of the Lord to do evil in his sight? And you may be thinking like, wow, I can't believe David would do something like that. That's crazy. You know, all the blessings God gave him and he just goes and kills a man and takes his wife. You know, that's pretty wild. But we are all guilty of doing this in one way. You know, we think after God gives us something or God, you know, blesses us, we're good and we don't need to serve him. You know, we get something from God. You know, we better be praising him on the mountain as much as we're praising him in the valley. Some people wonder why it's so hard to praise God. Why when they walk into a church service or a Friday night youth rally, you know, why it's hard to lift my hands and give God, you know, all that I have. And, you know, then you need to ask yourself, what else am I praising? Because if you're not praising God, you're praising something that is in the world. And no one is perfect, but I find it hard for myself to fall back into the same sin or after the same temptation. You know, when I get back from an amazing conference or when Pastor Clutter is preaching on fire, getting us all pumped up. You know, that next Monday, I'm waking up early, reading my word, you know, I'm praying. You know, but Thursday, Friday rolls around, I'm back to, you know, reading the verse of the day at the lunch table. The only praying I'm doing is over my food. You know, we better be pumped up every single day that we have breath. I thank God every day for this religion. No, I'm proud to be an apostolic Pentecostal. You know, but it has to be relationship with God over religion. You know, why would God let us into heaven if we're only talking to him for 5 minutes a day? You know, we're going to spend eternity with this, with the Lord and Savior, and we're only giving him 5 minutes out of the 24 hours? You know, I found that hard to believe. And one of the scariest Bible verses in the Bible is Matthew 7, chapter 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It doesn't matter to God if you're out here casting out devils and doing great works, you know, opening the door for an old lady, which is good. We need to keep doing that. But we're not going to be saved by our own good deeds. It doesn't matter, you know, how many good things we do. And if you think you are, God will say to you on Judgment Day, I never knew you. You better know who God is. You better know who the King of Kings is. God is waiting for you to draw near to him. You know, we live in a day and age of, you know, Jesus is coming back soon. And, you know, it's not the time to go through the motions. I don't want to go through another service where I'm just going through the motions, where we have, you know, praise and worship, we have announcements, we have the preacher, then we have altar call. Then I go home and, you know, I'm good for the week. You know, we better not take this for granted. You know, this is a wonderful thing that we have the privilege to. You know, and it's great to be baptized in Jesus' name and receive the Holy Ghost. It's essential, God says in John 3:5. But it is just as important to have a relationship with God. I want to know who God is. I want to know what the Spirit is inside of me is about. And we have to be walking in the Spirit daily. Daily. We better not just give God 100% on Sundays and Wednesdays. You know, that will not work. It won't happen. You know, ask yourself, what would happen if I only talked to my loved ones twice a week for an hour? So 2 hours out of the week. That relationship would be terrible. It'd be awful. And God, after God confronted David, he punished David and took away the baby Bathsheba was pregnant with. And in all of that, David returned back to God. It says he went on a fast, and after the baby died, 2 Samuel 12, verse 20 says, then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord, and he worshiped. Then he came into his own house, and when he was required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. One thing that fascinates me is David knew to return back to, and that was the house of God. With his hands lifting, giving God all that he had. You know, sometimes we don't have all the answers or the right words, but if we could just get in the presence of God and say, God, I'm sorry, God. Lord, forgive me, God, of everything I've done, Lord Jesus. And David knew where he needed to go. And when you get in the presence of God, anything can happen. You know, that feeling of knowing God's in here, it's so sweet. There's nothing like it. And I never want to take that for granted. You know, and God doesn't care what mistakes you have made. He just wants to see you get back up and start worshiping your way through the battle. David sought forgiveness for his sins by repenting to God. And David might have fallen, but guess what? David got back up in the name of Jesus. That's what I'm thankful for. He prayed asking for forgiveness, and he also wrote a whole psalm dedicated of repentance to God. Verse 18, chapter 18, verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Verse 3 says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. And David cries out for 40 more scriptures to God. Nevertheless, God forgave David, but he had to deal with the consequences of sin. And I'm thankful God doesn't punish us for our sins. There are consequences for our sins. You know, it could affect you, it could affect your family, and even generations to come. You know, you don't have to have a story like David to give everything back to God. You know, God is calling us back to repentance. You know, repentance is to, you know, act like you're going this way and doing a full 180 that way towards God. And repentance is the first response to faith. It is to call on God and, you know, ask him to wash you clean of every sin. You know, there's no mistake too great that he can't wash clean. There's no sin too great that you can't break away from. There's no addiction too strong that you can't break away from. Our repentance has to be sincere. You know, we can't do this sin. Jesus, forgive me my sins. And then the next day, you're back to that sin. Because that wasn't sincere. David taught us how to be sincere in our repentance. You know, we need to ask God for his conviction in us. To get that feeling inside of us and say, oh, no, I don't do that. I don't go there. I don't say that. I don't listen to that. I don't watch that. You know, we need to get to a point where, you know, the conviction is what we should be asking for God. God, strengthen my convictions. Lord, give me new convictions, Lord. And, you know, the conviction is what is going to save us from sin. It's a scary place to be when you don't feel anything when you sin. When you know what you're about to do is wrong, according to God's word, and you do it anyway. The back of the mind, God's saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. But you decide to do it anyway. In God's eyes, that's called being lukewarm. And that is the absolute worst thing you can do, is be a lukewarm Christian. Right. Revelation 3 states in verse 15 and 16, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. It makes God so sick that he will vomit you out of his mouth. And some examples that come to mind of being lukewarm, it would be loving the fleshly life. And sometimes it's easy to love the fleshly life. You know, sometimes it feels good to endure on those, you know, those things. But we cannot love the fleshly life. Another example, not taming the flesh, because it takes too much effort to stay connected to the Spirit of God. You know, I can't get up 30 minutes earlier to read my Bible because I'd rather sleep. You know, you can sleep when you're dead, is the saying. And another example would be when the Holy Ghost inside of you, it nudges you to do something, but you ignore it because it makes you feel uncomfortable. You know, God's saying, you know, let's go pray, go talk to that person. Go sit down with that person, have a conversation about with them. You know, tell them that Jesus loves them. But you don't want to do it because you think people will look at you funny. You know, you'll be out of your comfort zone. But God moves when you are uncomfortable.
Right.
And when you are out of your comfort zone is where God can move.
Yes.
And lastly would be going through the motions in praise and worship. All God has to do is listen and the stones cry out to him. You know, you better not let the stones out worship you. I'll tell you that right now. Better not let the stones take your place in worship. You know, we get to praise God. We get to praise God. We get to praise him for all that he's done. It's not something we should take lightly at all. You know, it's not something that we should mark off our Sunday service list. You know, it's not something we come in, you know, maybe throw one hand up a little bit because pastor said everybody lift their hands. You know, we better come in here. Both of our hands to praise the Lord. Surrender unto him. Give him everything. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We all have a reason to praise God. And thankfully, Jesus, he didn't come for those who are healthy and for those who have it all together. But he came for a sinner like me and you. And I don't know about y'all, but I want to be all the way in with Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yes.
I don't want to just have my toes dipped in the pool. You know, I don't want to just slip in a knee, you know, at the knees and be like, all right, that's where I'm going. I want to be fully submerged in the Holy Ghost, walking under the covering and the anointing of Jesus Christ. Friday night at our Move the Mission rally, you know, God moved in a mighty way. And as some of you know, I've been teaching some of my friends Bible studies, and I've had a total of 6 friends come to these Bible studies. I've been teaching about salvation and what the Bible says about going to heaven. One of my friends, he kind of questioned what I was talking about. And he went and talked to his youth pastor at his church. And the church he goes to happens to be an evangelical church. And my friend asked him about John 3:5, which is, Jesus answered unto them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He also asked his youth pastor about Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. My friend's church believes that baptizing in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and just accepting Jesus into your heart, and you're saved. You know, but the Bible says otherwise. It's not something River was saying. It's not something just Turning Point was saying, but the Word of God says otherwise. You know, there's nowhere in Scripture where it records that people were baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If you can find it, I'll give you my life savings. I've been teaching them that there's steps to salvation. Accepting Jesus is one of those steps, but not the only step. The youth pastor of one of my friends told them that they're not steps, but you can choose one of these things that God lays out for us. But the Bible is not a buffet where we get to pick and choose what we want. If you are a believer in Christ, you follow what Jesus says from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:2. And he was talking to him about the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And as we know, it's one of the seven gifts that God gives us. And he told him that, you know, it's just a spiritual gift. Don't worry about it. You know, it's not for everyone to do. But I know in Acts chapter 2, verse 39, it says, for this promise, and that promise is the Holy Ghost, is what he's talking about here. It's unto you, it's unto your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So I tell you today that the Holy Ghost is for everyone. It's not just for preachers. It's not just for pastors or just for ministers. But the Bible says it is for everyone. Everyone in the entire world needs the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. My friend and I were sort of arguing about it. And I know that, you know, we can't be arguing about the Bible with one another. That's something we shouldn't do. You know, I had to, you know, God quickened me to, you know, be quiet and say, okay, all right. And my friend told me that he would rather listen to his youth leader, who has read the entire Bible and who has this leadership title over me. And that kind of angered me, and I was frustrated, you know, and it kind of made me think, you know, why would, you know, I have no response to that. What do I say? And I heard a preacher say it, you know, one time like this. If you should not take or listen to anyone's advice if they have never been filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And that's so true. It doesn't matter, you know, what someone has to say if they haven't been filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, obviously there's things we have to listen to. But for any advice or spiritual advice, you know, we can't just always listen to that, you know. You know, maybe we can hear it, okay, yeah, but we shouldn't apply it to our lives. You know, it's so crucial who you let speak in your life. It does matter to be submitted to a pastor and to a church and who you let speak in your life. Just because someone has, you know, this title or they're some big shot in the world means absolutely nothing to Jesus. I want to listen to the man of God and stop listening to this world. And I had to stop arguing with my friend and just let God do what he wanted to do. And these Bible studies, we had four or five of them, and I announced that the youth rally was coming up and I wanted them to come, you know, experience God firsthand. And before it happened, I was telling them that, you know, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost anywhere. It's not confined to four walls in the church, but God can fill you anywhere. And I wanted them to come because this will be their first experience at a Pentecostal service. And how many know that there's nothing like a Pentecostal service? There's nothing like it. You know, I kept telling them, reminding them, you know, the youth rally's coming up. You know, come on, I want you to go. One of my friends, he was dead set on going. He's like, you know, sure, I'll give it a shot. The other ones were a little weary, and one had vacation, and the other one was busy. And I was praying and fasting for this service. I just wanted the will of God to happen for them. And Friday rolls around, and I knew my one friend was definitely coming. I was, okay, that's fine. That's awesome. And last minute, my other friend showed up, and that was God ordained. And as we make our way down there, we're jamming to our music, you know, getting ready for the service, trying to pump them up. And this rally is called Move the Mission. And usually, you know, it's about giving, you know, money to the missionaries that can move the mission in other countries. And it's a great organization. And usually every year the preacher, he preaches about pretty much give your life savings away, your car, your house, and it's everything you have to these missionaries, which we should give. It's biblical to give. Not really. He pulls on us to give, though. And there was just something different about this service. And as I come to a close, you may stand. he started preaching about salvation and about being baptized in the only saving name and receiving the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And he was hitting the nail on the head with everything I have been teaching them. And I know it was God confirming what I've been teaching. And it was so powerful, the presence of God was there so strongly. And when Brother Cody was speaking halfway through his sermon, you know, he was saying that, you know, we can't go another day not knowing if we died where we would be. Where would we go? Eternity is forever. You know, we live on earth for such a small period of time, and it might seem for a long time, but in God's eyes, time is nothing. And my friend, halfway through the service, while Cody was on fire, we were all standing up praising God, and it got quiet, and one of my friends started speaking with other tongues in the name of Jesus. I walked out of that place that night with two of my friends that received the Holy Ghost for the first time. Thank you, Jesus. The promise is unto everyone. It doesn't matter what church you've gone to. It doesn't matter what religion you claim you are. The promise is unto everyone. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what your background is. But one moment in the presence of God, anything can happen. I've come to tell someone today that if you have fallen, get back up. Jesus is calling you back to repentance and back to his ways. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, today is your lucky day. We're running a special going on. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name for completely free. This isn't the time to play games. We are living in the last days, and you cannot go another day waiting. I hear a lot of people say that, younger people say that, I'm going to wait till I'm older. You know, that is a complete lie from the enemy telling you that, just wait till you're older. You know, I've come to tell some young person today that this is the generational service, you know, that you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. There's no better day than today. It doesn't stop when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, but it only gets better. It only gets better. You know, there is a way to stop falling into the trap of Satan. There is a way to break the cycle of falling. And that is the Holy Spirit that convicts you of those things and leads you out of temptation and breaks every chain. Eternity is real. There is a heaven and there is also a hell. Don't wait any longer. Today is your day. My friends weren't anyone special. They weren't, you know, they were just the average Christian that goes through. To be honest, they were lukewarm. But I can say that they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they're on the right path to heaven. But now, if everybody would make their way up front and lift their hands, Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for this day that you have given me, God. Lord, I ask you, God, that I would just not go another day, God, waiting for, God, you to fill me, Lord, that today is my day to be filled with the Holy Ghost, Jesus. God, I ask you, God, that you would just touch me, God. Lord, that I would leave here changed, God. That I don't want to walk out the same way I came in today, God. Lord, I give you everything that is upon my life, Jesus. Lord, I ask you, Jesus, God, to touch every person in this room today, Jesus, God. That your spirit, God, would fall and reign, God, in this place. In the name of Jesus.
Pentecost right now. Thank you, Lord. today. Thank you, Lord, for your love today, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, I love you. I thank you for your love, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, Jesus. In the name of the Lord, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. For your presence we feel here. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence we feel here, oh God. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence that we feel here. It's your love that we feel here right now. Oh God, I thank you for what we're feeling in this very place. We're feeling your love, your peace. In the name of Jesus, we feel your love, your peace right now. We feel your love, your peace right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Generations, and your family, and your children, and your children. Oh God, I pray a covering, a blessing upon the generations. I pray for a covering, Lord, upon the generations, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the covering upon the generations, Lord. In the name of the Lord, let it be done in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let it be done, oh God. Cover our families, cover our homes, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the covering of your Spirit that your word says will be poured out upon them that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus. Fill us with the Holy Spirit today. Fill us with your Spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for your Spirit being poured out today. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh God, yes, it's the Spirit of God we feel here today. It's your Spirit that we feel here today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your Spirit that we feel here, Jesus. Upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children. Oh yes, Jesus. Thank you, God, for filling us all with your power and your presence, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, that you are for us, Jesus. Generations and your family and your children and their children. Oh, thank you, Jesus. In the name of the Lord, right now, God, fill this place, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus, right now, God, do as only you can do, Jesus. Moving in this place. The power of God is moving in this place. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, the Spirit of God is moving in this place. For what God is doing here right now. And while you're still praying, I want some of you, if you're not praying right now, stretch your hand towards the front here. Morgan is going to get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. He received the gift of the Holy Ghost Friday night, and we're going to pray that God will continue to touch him in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you're doing and what you've already done. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will cover his life, and we give you the praise for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Now, at the confession of your faith and your desire to be like Jesus through the death, burial, and resurrection, we now baptize you in Jesus' name for the remission of sins. Yes, come on, let's rejoice in that. Let's rejoice in that for what God is doing. We rejoice, oh Lord Jesus. We rejoice, Jesus. Come on, let's clap our hands one more time all across this place. Yes, let's just celebrate with him for what God is doing. We love you, Lord Jesus. We celebrate, Lord God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.